Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here this morning opening up God's Word. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, may you, Lord, be glorified above all other things this morning as I speak your word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a bit younger, remember, I used to love to snuggle up on a couch or something and read one of those magic eye books. Now, if you don't remember or know what I'm talking about at all, it was one of those books where at first glance, every page seemed to be filled with some sort of random pattern, like abstract shapes and blurred colors, and you couldn't make anything out. But that was the point of those books. And the trick is, once you learn to see beyond the surface of those patterns, once you trained your eyes to see, refocus your eyes, you found an image, a little hidden 3D treasure, something that was there waiting for your eyes to find it. This is what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to give everyone a few seconds to see if you can try and figure out what this image is. For those whose eyesight is less than favorable, this is probably going to be a struggle for you. But those of us who can see pretty clearly, what you have to do is stare at the image and refocus your eyes a bit. Don't strain. I give you a clue. The image is a word. Okay, time's up. Anyone get it? Yeah, they're pretty difficult. The image says Jesus. This Christmas, today, do you see Jesus? Or more importantly, do you see him for all he's worth? Because when it comes to seeing Christ, in here, within these four walls, when we sing songs like the one we just sang, it really seems like we see Christ clearly. And we do. We see that he is worth a lot. But outside of these four walls, it gets harder. The world often sees scribbly lines and abstract shapes when they look at Jesus, just like this image. And I think this is never more obvious than during Christmas time. Jesus seems to be missed by the multitudes. It's like everyone fails to recognize his worth, especially in the midst of the commercialization of Christmas. All the decorations and the flashing lights, the glamoured up nativity scenes. Everyone seems to pass him off as a fairy tale or foolishness. Even when we're all joining in singing carols together that are about his worth. These are some billboards that have been put up across multiple cities in America. Now, if you're feeling anything the way I'm feeling when you look at these, that's okay. We should be offended at the cheapening of Jesus. And these are unsubtly atheistic, but I really do think they represent a growing perspective about Jesus in our society. Christ is frequently cheapened in our society, or he's simply put into Christmas cards as an afterthought. People have cheapened the name of Jesus time and time again because they lack the vision, the trained eyes to see him how he was meant to be seen. And that is to be treasured beyond all things and all people. So we really need to, as the church, we need to open our eyes. We need to see the worth of Christ. We need to stop seeing scribbly lines and abstract shapes when we look at Jesus. That's what the world sees. But we, as those whom the Spirit of God has occupied, we do things differently. We must recognize and emphasize the worth of Christ at Christmas in the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we act. Jesus is not an afterthought. He's the Lord of the universe, and he's the saving masterpiece of God for all humanity. So today we are recognizing Christ's worth. We're going to do this by looking at Luke chapter 2 and taking a close look at the man Simeon. Now, just like Mary and the shepherds before him, everything really did change in an instant for Simeon because he recognized the worth of Christ. And though we're really not told much about him at all, hardly anything, I think we're told as much as we need to know. And from this, we can say that Simeon recognized Jesus' worth because he had eyes of faith and he had eyes of the Spirit. Simeon was a man who was waiting on the world to change. He had eyes of faith. His entire life was dedicated to looking out for the Christ, who for him was the one who was destined to console Israel from all their heartache and pain, from constantly being under the thumb of empires. So every Jew from the time of the exile, through the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, through being under the Persians and then the Greeks, through 400 years of silence, then through being under the Romans, to this point, everyone was looking and waiting for this Messiah to come and save them. But now in the first century, Simeon was part of only a remnant of Jews who were still on the lookout. That was his purpose, to recognize and locate the Lord's Messiah. And it took tremendous faith to do this. And that's what we all need these days to recognize Christ's worth, faith. Look how Luke describes Simeon. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Imagine if you were one of the last Christians left on this planet. All of your friends, all of your family, they'd given up on Jesus and they decided to live for themselves. And you were alone and isolated, waiting for the return of Jesus. Would you remain righteous? Would you remain devout to God? Would Jesus be worth holding on to? Well, Simeon was pretty much in that position. He had tremendous faith in the worth of Christ. And he hadn't even seen him. But that's faith. Hebrews 11 said, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance, certainty about what we do not see." Eyes of faith. Faith exists when we don't see the thing that we're having faith in, but we're certain that it is there. Have you ever heard of the term white knuckling? White knuckling. It means clinging fiercely to something to the point that you're squeezing so hard, the blood drains away from your knuckles and they turn white. We need to cling fiercely to the certainty that we have in Christ. We are certain as Christians that Jesus is who he says he is in the Gospels, including when he says he's God, and that he is infinitely worthy. We are certain that he will come again, and on that day, every knee will bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. And we hold on to that day with certainty through eyes of faith, no matter what the world tells us. This same faith compelled Simeon to hold on to his certainty, to his hope, with a white knuckle grip. His hope was based on promises like this one. The prophet Isaiah said this 700 years before the birth of Christ. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now that's a promise worth holding on to with everything that you have. So where are the Simeons today? Where are they? Does my faith stand up to the great faith that Simeon had in the certainty of Christ? Where does your faith stand when it comes to recognizing the worth of Christ in the 21st century? Do you believe, do you really believe that Jesus is worth more to you than an Australian summer? Because we all love those. Do you believe that he's worth more to you than 2 weeks annual leave after Christmas? And I mean, really believe. Does your belief manifest itself in the way you act, the way you live your life? Or do you look at the story of Christmas this year and feel nothing, feel numb? Do you pass it off as a fairy tale? This is a matter of faith in the worth of Christ. Trust the promises that we have in Scripture. Trust those such as Simeon, who Luke includes in his gospel, precisely to show us that Christ is worth believing and worth holding on to with that white knuckle grip. In return for these eyes of faith, God gifted Simeon with the greatest gift of all, the ability to see. It had been revealed to him in verse 26 by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. The ability to really see beyond the physical senses. He gave him eyes of the Spirit. Because of his faith in Jesus, even before Pentecost, God gifted this random, righteous old man with his own Spirit plus the amazing gift of actually seeing the Messiah come in the flesh. That was the reward for his faith. For Simeon and for all of us today, the gift of the Holy Spirit acted as a type of magnifying glass through which he could see the amazing reality of Jesus and actually understand it. And that's the key, understanding Jesus. This isn't possible with our limited thinking, but it is possible with the eyes of the Spirit. Have you ever looked at a newborn baby before? I'm sure a lot of us have. My daughter is 6 weeks old now. And yes, she is cute, but she also wheezes and poos and vomits. A lot of the time it's on you. It will be very difficult for me to see the God of the universe behind those little eyes. That will be foolishness, actually. To the physical eyes, without the guidance of the Spirit, the idea that a God who shaped everything in the known universe, everything we see, would inhabit a human being and would start out as a fetus and then become a newborn baby born in a dirty stable in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by animals, to a couple of lowly parents, that is absolute foolishness. It's a nice story to celebrate for a holiday to finish up the end of the year. But other than that, it's rubbish, really. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. God speaks a different language to the language of this world. And this language is interpreted for us by the Spirit. So a lot of this sermon might seem like foolishness to some of us, But to others with eyes of the Spirit and faith, there will hopefully be some wisdom of God highlighted that he wants you to hear this morning. For instance, God speaks a language of humility. The world speaks a language of human achievement and pride. God speaks a language of love for the other. The world speaks a language of love for self, individualism. God speaks a language of faith and hope in the unseen. And the world speaks materialism. There's a disconnect going on there. And the world doesn't understand the language of God. So for Simeon, God gave this tremendous insight of the Messiah through his own Spirit. And for who knows how long, the Spirit of God was upon Simeon, training his spiritual eyes to have excellent sensitivity to the Messiah. And that's what the Spirit does. Once he lives within you, he trains your vision, he hones your senses to be drawn to where Jesus is. Luke says in verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents, that's Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. So Simeon's trained sensitivity to the Messiah by the Spirit allowed him to be moved, to be drawn to the direction of Jesus. And it's the same for us today. Of course, we're not being moved in the direction of the body of Jesus because he's already been here and he's gone and he's reigning in heaven. But what I mean when the Spirit moves us in the direction of him is that part of the Spirit's role is to train us to be able to see where Jesus would have been if he was still here with us on earth in the flesh. This is something that the Spirit reveals to us alongside the Gospels. So you remember WWJD? Remember the wristbands that everyone was wearing for a while? Well, it's pretty much that. So where would Jesus be? What would he do in this situation, or where would he be? Would Jesus constantly be in the endless rows of Target and Kmart during Christmas, or would he be in a conversation with an unsaved neighbor? These are confronting questions. They're tough, but they're necessary to ask. How does the Spirit train us to have this type of vision? Well, you go to the Bible and you open up the Gospels and you look at Jesus, what he said, where he went, who he was with. Then the Spirit opens up your spiritual senses in the world, in everyday life, and shows you where Jesus would have been, what he would have said, who he was with. And then you go there, you say that, you be with that person, and you become what the church was always meant to be. The physical manifestation of Christ on earth until he comes again. You become his hands, you become his feet, his eyes and his heart. And then we begin showing off the worth of Jesus, obviously. And then people will be drawn to recognize his worth also. And this is eternally significant. So that's how I think one is moved by the Spirit. And when you're moved by the Spirit of God, you find Jesus in the world. Simeon was moved by the Spirit, and because of his eyes of faith, and his eyes opened up even more by the Spirit, and he found Jesus just in the right place at the right time. So let's be a church that is moved by the Spirit to Jesus. The amazing thing about Simeon is that once he located Jesus through the eyes of the Spirit, he saw Christ in specific, beautiful detail. He saw him through a crystal lens, beyond the form of a little baby and into the heart of God. He saw for himself just why Christ is worth so much. Why he's to be treasured beyond all things. Why he's worth dying for, or not dying for, if you're Simeon. This is really important for us in the midst of Christmas, in the midst of a world that just are missing Christ all over the place, who are blinded, seeing only blurred lines and abstract patterns when they look at him. So Simeon tells us in a song, holding the maker of the universe in his arms, he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have actually seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." So Simeon says Christ is worthy because he is salvation prepared by God. He said, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared." Why is a masterpiece considered a masterpiece? Well, I think it's because it has a lot of worth. It is of much worth. It has unrivaled artistic beauty. It's leagues above everything else in its field. And it shows off the supreme craftsmanship of its creator. Jesus Christ is the supreme masterpiece. Nothing else will ever live up to him. His entry into the world was God's saving masterpiece for humanity, crafted and prepared by God from the beginning of all things. 1 Peter 1:20 says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake." 1 Corinthians 2:7, "No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." The coming of Jesus wasn't random or some spur of the moment decision by God because he stuffed everything up. Jesus Christ, his incarnation as a human, his life, his death, his resurrection, was the mother of all strategic plans, the mother of all exquisite works. There had never been and never again will be such a massive saving operation by God. It was planned before time began, before time existed. Our minds can't grasp how long this masterpiece has been in the works. So just imagine the amazing worth that Jesus Christ has to God, to the Trinity. They have painstakingly crafted every inch of this plan to the point that it was never going to fail. And it was all done for us, for finite human beings who are here today and gone tomorrow. Yet we so often cheapen this great gift by ignoring it or simply acting like we are indifferent to Jesus, like going, "Whatever, what's it mean to me?" This masterpiece of God, Jesus, is worthy and is worth our attention and is worth our celebration and is worth our lives until our final breath. Christ is worthy because he has been prepared in the face of everyone. Simeon says, "which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." The Greek word here, where in the NIV it's translated as sight, it actually literally means face. So God prepared Christ in the face of all nations, right up in everyone's face. Just like a magic eye image. But still, we tragically lose sight of it. Have you ever been in an art gallery of some sort and found yourself staring at a painting and just thinking, "What on earth am I looking at? What is that?" And then you look around and there's some other person who's staring at the same painting and going, "That's exquisite. Look at the brush strokes on that." And you're just like, "I don't see any of that. Just a wash of colour to me." Well, I think the thing about pieces of art is that you kind of have to have some understanding of the technique that the artist used to paint it. Or else you could be staring at a piece by Picasso and not have a clue, right? Well, it's the same with Jesus when we look at him. Without the insight and training of the Spirit, even when you look at Jesus in the Gospels, you end up missing the point. We miss the worth, even when it's right there staring at you in the face. And the devil, he loves that. He really does. And he's actually very involved in trying to blind us and distort our vision when we look at Jesus. And a lot of the time he uses distractions. Can you think of any distractions that pop up during Christmas? I can think of a major one, and his name starts with S, but we won't go there. This is prime time season for the devil to start distracting us from the worth of Christ. Be very wary of it. Christ is worthy because his saving plan includes everybody. Although God was faithful to his people Israel, as we see in his faithfulness to Simeon, to think that his salvation stopped there, that would be totally considering God's grace as cheapened, selling it short. Simeon says that Jesus was meant to be seen by the Gentiles too. And that's an incredible thing for a Jewish man to say. He was meant to be a light to every nation, to everyone, every person on the planet, an absorbing, enveloping light. This is good news. We wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't part of God's plan to incorporate us into his family through the blood of Jesus. But with the light of the revelation of Jesus, it either causes you to retract from the brightness and glare or to see more clearly. So you know when you turn the lights on after being in the darkness for a while, I think the immediate reaction of everyone is to squint suddenly at the intensity of the light. In that moment, you can either retract back into the darkness or you can stay in the light and allow times for your eyes to adjust so you can see things more clearly. I think it's the same with the revelation of Jesus, the light of Jesus. You either retract from him or you spend time adjusting to this amazing revelation through the aid of the Spirit. You have the choice. But many have retracted. Simeon finishes up his song of Christ's worth, and he sees something else. He sees this little baby, which he's holding in his arms. He sees him all grown up, and he sees his arms outstretched on the hard, splintery wood of the cross. And he says, "Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Some art simply impresses everyone. It's the most popular thing ever. It's admired by everyone you talk to. Like a painting by Monet or Leonardo da Vinci. Everyone loves those paintings. But some art is just provocative in that it provokes people. It ends up offending people. People become hostile towards it. Usually because it rattles the cage. It challenges the way that you see things. And a lot of us don't like that. And as a result, we lose sight of the intended meaning behind that piece of art. Our vision gets skewed and we can never look at it the same. Simeon is being made aware through the eyes of the Spirit of the horrible reality of the gift of Jesus. People will not recognize his worth. People will, like one does to any piece of provocative art, they'll take offense to it and be provoked. They'll be provoked by his language of the kingdom of God, by his dismissal of human ideals like power and fame and money. They'll take offense to his claims to be God. They'll be provoked by the fact that though he is completely humble, he will hold more authority in his words and actions than anyone who has ever walked the face of this earth. They will take offense to the fact that people do actually recognize his worth and are drawn to him, drawn to his teachings by the masses. And they'll be provoked by the fact that he simply will not listen to them and he will not conform to their pattern of living in the world. And they'll kill him for it. Jesus was destined to provoke, destined to have people take offense to him, and destined to cause people to fall. Simeon knew this as much as he knew the worth of Jesus. He knew passages, prophetic passages like Isaiah 8, where it says about the Messiah, he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. The world did not recognize Jesus. And they still don't recognize Jesus. Those who fail to see the worth of Christ, who cheapen him, put him on the same levels as Santa Claus, or pass him off as a fairy tale, are destined to fall because of him. That's what Simeon says. This is intense. And those who wish so badly that everyone would just be able to see Jesus clearly, they will be able to understand him for all he's worth, that our family and friends will be able to see and understand him. This is like a sword being plunged into your soul. It is painful. It definitely was painful for Mary when she saw this kind of blindness and hostility pan out towards her son. So why did God allow some to be able to see and understand and others to be blinded and provoked? Well, Simeon says, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. It's a test for the viewer when they look at Jesus. Those who miss Christ's worth for whatever reason that is will fall. But those who recognize Christ's worth through eyes of faith and eyes of the Spirit, they will rise. They will rise in this life as a new creation, and they will rise in the next with a resurrected body as co-heirs with Christ, enjoying his presence forever. So will you rise or will you fall? It is time to recognize Christ's worth. Time to start living as this great man Simeon did, with eyes of faith in Jesus, holding on to him with a white knuckle grip, having your eyes trained by the Spirit to be moved to where he is in the world. It's time to realize what tremendous lengths God has gone to prepare our salvation for us. Because once you do, everything does change in an instant. You are risen as Christ is risen. Your outlook on everything is different. You see through the eyes of the Spirit of God. You are drawn to Christ's worth everywhere, becoming his hands and his feet and his heart. You don't need to overwhelm yourself with Christmas distractions or be so easily misled by worldly billboards. see more in Jesus than just scribbly lines and abstract patterns. You know what this image says? It says Jesus, Lord, King, Ruler, Victorious, Infinitely Precious, Masterpiece, Worthy. Lord God, that is what you are. You are all those things and much, much more. Lord, we do not want to be a church who are easily misled and conform to the pattern of this world. We want to have renewed minds when we look at you, Jesus. And we thank you for the gift of the Spirit to be able to see you for all your worth. Lord, help us to hold fast to the certainty that we have in you in the midst of a world blinded. We thank you that we have the amazing gifts of being able to rise as you are risen and to proclaim your worth amongst the nations. Jesus, you are worthy, and we glorify you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.